Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Oregon State initiating a tax on sports tickets at athletic events. Nick Daschle had the story, covers Oregon State for Oregon Live. Daschle, hey, tell us what Oregon State's trying to do here. What are they doing with this tax on tickets?
Well, it's a tax or a subsidy or I don't know which you want to call it. But, yeah, they're going to charge $3 on every ticket starting in the fall that will go toward the, quote-unquote, the Student Athlete Enhancement Fund, which is, you know, just code for revenue sharing. You know, that's going to go toward paying part of it. It's certainly not going to be, you know, the entire bucket. But, you know, if you do the math on it with the amount, you know, number of tickets that, you know, they sell over the course of the year between football, basketball, baseball, and the other sports, you know, it could generate, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 million. You know, again, that's not going to pay for all of it, but it gets them off to a good start. And I mean, just based on, you know, it's hard to know how boosters are going to react to it, but, you know, just based on, you know, I put it out on social media, it seemed like a lot of people were like, okay, you know, that's the cost of doing business, you know, we'll do it. That was the general vibe I got. I mean, I guess we won't know until we get to the fall, but that's what they're trying to do. And they're not alone. Tennessee started this. They in September, they came out and announced they were going to charge a 10% surcharge on season tickets for football. I've seen a few other schools try some of these things. Arkansas is going to charge a percentage on concessions. Clemson's going to charge $150 each semester to its students, add that right onto the old tuition bill for, you know, they're saying this isn't for the help pay for the revenue sharing, but it's just, that's what it is.
Nick, let me ask you this. You know, is that enough? Because I thought when I saw this, I thought, gosh, they should have asked for more. You talked to Scott Barnes. How did they settle on that number?
I don't know exactly how they, I mean, part of it is how much more can you, on a football ticket, $3 seems like not that much. On a, say, a soccer ticket or a, I don't know, women's basketball ticket, $3 is a pretty big chunk. You know, I think they were, I don't think they want to just shock the fan base in terms of, this thing is going to be expensive, and let's start out with this and see what happens. I mean, $3 on a football ticket. I'm just trying to figure. You know, let's say it's a $60 ticket. That's what, about a 5% surcharge. I mean, that doesn't seem too terribly much based on all the money you actually do spend at a football game on a weekend. So, but on some of these other sports, it might be a little bit more than the average fan would want to spend.
Oregon is saying they will not have an athlete surcharge on their bill, but they are raising ticket prices, and I find it interesting because it seems to me, Nick, like you either build this in, you bake it into the price of the ticket, and you take it out anyway, or you say to this fan base, hey, we really need your help here, pay an additional surcharge, and you feel like you're part of it. Will Oregon State raise their ticket prices too, or is this just going to be the subsidy?
You know, I haven't looked at the actual ticket prices because I keep meaning to do that. But the ticket price is really, at least for football, it feels like it's not even the bulk of the price. It's the donation to our Beaver Nation for a lot of those. For a lot of those season tickets, that's the bigger piece of the pie. But I don't believe that they were planning on much of an increase, if at all. I think this year what they were actually going to do this is what I think is happening. Last year they charged they charged the same amount for a season ticket as they did in 23. This year they're going to charge an extra game because they're going to have seven home games, just like they did. What did they have last year? Seven? They had seven, six. In 23 they had six home games. They charged the same amount last year for that six game package for seven. I think this year they're going to charge for seven games instead of the, buy six, get seven.
Malik Murphy at quarterback, if I could pivot to some football, I'm excited to see that guy play. And I think, they're obviously paying for him $1.5 million. Looks like Oregon State's opening up the Damnation Collective checkbook to make that happen. And what are your expectations for Malik Murphy in his first season at Oregon State?
Well, I don't know. When he walked out on the floor on Thursday before the halftime for the Washington State game, they brought out all the transfers and guys that were enrolling early. And oh my God, he looked every bit the part of the guy. You go, wow, we want to get behind this guy. He just had that look to him, like, imposing, leader type, and grabbed the microphone and whatnot. Just based on we've only really seen him play at Duke, and he had a good year. I think he's what Gundy wants to do. He wants to be multiple. He doesn't necessarily want to be the RPO guy, but he wants to have a little bit of that in there. But he wants to be able to throw the ball downfield, and that really wasn't something they could do a lot of this year. And I think with the receivers they got coming back, I thought that the receivers got a little bit of a bad rap last year. They were so inexperienced. They lost so much experience from the previous year that they just need the year to grow. And I think they're going to have a better group there. Plus with those tight ends they brought in now they've got a guy that can make all the throws, and that's going to be a big thing. I don't think Malik Murphy is going to be, this guy is going to, I don't think he's even, DJ in terms of, I'm going to, run over you on fourth down and things like that. I think they want him, mostly to be a passer with a little bit of a threat to run.
I am looking at the addition of Danny Langsdorth to the offensive quality control staff, and he's obviously going to be working with Ryan Gunderson, who's a fairly young, inexperienced coordinator. But how does Langsdorth fit with the offense?
Well, I mean, I think it just goes back to, what Oregon State has kind of been all along with, throughout their history, through their recent history, the Riley era, even the Erickson, Smith, and now they like to be, I don't think they're as much pro style as maybe they were under Smith but O'Reilly, but I think that's basically what Oregon State wants to be. They want to run the football and to be able to hurt you down the field. And Langsdorff has been around a while, and I think Gunderson's comfortable with a guy like that. I think a lot of the moves they made during this offseason were to give Gundy more of the tools that he needs to make his offense successful. And with Langsdorff and Murphy and bringing in tight ends and the running back pieces, I think that's all what a lot of this offseason was meant to do.
Offseason move: Trent Bray gets rid of Keith Hayward as his D coordinator. Bray will now call the defense. How is that going to work? And a head coach saying, I got to be the hands on guy here. And it may just be that he felt like he didn't have anybody else that could do it, or he was frustrated maybe last year and watching what Hayward was doing. Why that move, and how do you think it goes for Trent Bray?
Is that what we're calling it? He got rid of Hayward?
I guess. I mean,
kind of feels like it. Yeah, it kind of feels like it was engineered a little bit. But I mean, I believe it was 50-50. I think Keith needed to get away and, take care of some personal things. And I think Bray was probably a little frustrated with what he saw from the offense. And I mean, he's even made comments, at least when I talked to him, about, I need to get, he does, I don't think he wants to be the DC for, forever, I think he wants to get the defense back to where it was. And so, you know, Scott told me he and Trent had started talking about this midway through the year, which was a little bit surprising given that, you know, Barnes really wants his guy to be the CEO. And, you know, all of a sudden it was pretty apparent that, you know, the thing they were missing was Trent Bray running the defense. I think with Rob Akey coming in, and, you know, Rob is a very energetic, excitable guy, and he's a little bit like Bray in terms of, you know, he can't sit still, and he's going to add something to the defense too. Plus, you know, he's got some head coaching experience. So I'm willing to see how that marriage works with, you know, Trent, you know, being the head coach, but also coaching a position and, you know, mining the store with some help.
We're talking to Nick Daschle. He covers Oregon State for Oregon Live. All right, in the spring, they're going to take the field. You're going to be watching the offense. I'm going to be watching the offense. You're going to be watching Bray to see how different he looks, or maybe the same he looks pacing up and down the sideline. But what else are you looking for at Oregon State in the spring? What do you want to see?
Well, I mean, with this team, it really boils down to what do they got on the lines? Because I feel like the rest of the team is I think they have the pieces to get. If the offensive line comes together, and that's no given. If the offensive line comes together, I think this is probably this could be a 9-win, maybe even a 10-win team given the schedule. But the offensive line is a question mark until we see what they can do, because they lost four guys to seniors that are now no longer part of the program, and you know, they're replacing with guys they believe in. But, you know, until we've seen what they can do, you know, that'll have to be a question. And maybe we may not even see everything this spring. It'll probably go into the fall before we really see what they can do. But that's probably number one. Number two would be, what are we going to see from the defensive line? Because that was such a problem last year. Man, a lot of it due to injuries, and some of those guys are coming back, and some of them won't come back until the fall. But that's an area that's got to be beefed up a little bit. But I suppose, you know, the next thing would be that, you know, the guys right behind the defensive line, you know, they're replacing two inside linebackers. Now, I think Dexter Foster, by the end of last season, might have been their best guy, but he's never been in a role where he's started and they've had to lean on him. So he'll want to see what they can get out of him.
I'm interested to see, you mentioned the receiving group, the receivers, and part of it is maybe they didn't have a quarterback that could get him the ball. It was really an underwhelming year from a passing standpoint. Just, I can remember a play or two here or there that I went, oh, nice pass play. But not much else, and I don't think that was on the coordinator. I think it was just the personnel was very limited. I want to see if these guys in the spring can run past people. And do you have a sense with the receiving core, like, you know, where the new guys might fit, or will we get to see new guys in the spring?
Well, you know, okay. Well, they start with Walker, so you got Trent Walker. Then, you know, Clemens was really coming on the last few games of the season. If you get that guy that played at Boise, and you get him to play the whole year, you've got two pretty solid receivers in Walker and Clemens. And then Jimmy Valson was coming on toward the end of the 23 the 23 season. Then he got hurt, and so he missed all last year. They thought he was going to be a big part of last year's offense, and he wasn't able to play. And then there's this other guys that are just going into their third year. Taz Reddix, and a few other guys. They're just starting to work into the offense. And I feel like now they've got a group that have 2-3 years under their belt. And, you know, that's what Anthony Gould, we didn't know anything about him until he got into about his fourth year. You know, Silas Bolden is third or fourth year. You know, it's just, that's a position that, you know, sometimes it doesn't take long at all if you have, you know, if you got Ohio State type talent. But, you know, I just feel like that's a position that could surprise some people, just because now they've got some experience there and a guy that can get them the ball.
Nick Daschle, you're the best, man. Good work on the Oregon State front. We'll get you back on as the spring season or the spring game Will they have a spring game, or are they going to be one of these programs that goes, we don't do spring football anymore?
Well, I asked Scott about that. That's a Trent decision. I mean, they've got it scheduled for April 19th. They'll do something for sure. I just don't know what. And I believe some of these guys when they say, you know, why we don't expose our guys to all the other programs in our spring game. Let them get our players. And you know, Oregon State is right at the top of the list when it comes to that, because you know, they can't afford to lose you know any of their A or AB level type players. So
maybe you don't have a game.
I think they're going to do something, but I don't. Well, yeah. I mean, it's going to be one of the questions that Trent will get asked like immediately. You know, at the outset of spring ball on March 4th. Yeah, March 4th.
All right. So. Good on you, Nick Daschle. Keep up the fight. There he goes. Spring ball or no? On one hand, spring football and the practices and that scrimmage get people excited about the season. Maybe it sparks people to buy some season tickets if they can see the team. On the other hand, there are a lot of schools out there that are not going to do this, and they're not going to do it in the old way. And certainly there are programs even like Texas who are saying, should we be doing this? Or should we be more like OTAs and more of an NFL system? We'll find out what Oregon and Oregon State do as spring approaches. I want you to leave it here. Our big splash is coming up.